This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Right Now, and he joins us every Tuesday to talk growth and development. And we were just talking with Tom Loach. Tom Loach does not sleep, it seems. He's a busy man. I mean, he understands the freedom of information requests and how to get information from your government, and I'm truly impressed.
There are a number of people like Tom Loach in the community that really, like me, go to all these meetings and keep track of these things. So it's and as you were challenging folks to ask the right questions, ensure the government process is open, and I, you know, Charlottesville Tomorrow is very much about that and sort of making the raw materials available for people to go through and catch the meetings maybe they missed, get independent analysis of what happened at any given event or particular development.
Yeah, and I applaud y'all for that. And, you know, of course, I'm a big fan of the work that you do, making it easier for folks to figure out, well, what's going on with my government? What is my government right here in my neighborhood? What are they up to? What are they doing? And what are the big decisions that they're faced with now? What are the challenges that they have now? And when are they getting together next so that I can go and find out more and perhaps speak up?
You know, we have an intern, and he's not listening right now because he's covering another event. But I was saying to him yesterday, we were in the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority meeting, which is not, you know, probably on the short list for a lot of people's afternoon meetings to go to. But we were there covering it. And I said to him, I said, you know, when you pick up the Daily Progress tomorrow or listen to WINA, you're going to hear talk about, you know, the $400,000 that the city contributed to the Water and Sewer Authority to, you know, eliminate this problem in the budget and take care of this issue. And now you will know what kinds, where that news comes from. And hopefully it'll have, you know, new meaning for you as a citizen. And so I, you know, that's very much a lesson that we try to give in this radio program, I think, and also with Charlottesville Tomorrow's emails and the website, is drawing attention to those things, helping people connect the dots, and understand, you know, that you can learn what's going on if you go and seek the information. And sometimes, you know, it may take a backyard issue that happens to a family or a resident, and my hope is that once they learn about the process through something in their backyard, they'll look for those patterns around the rest of the community, and it'll motivate them to take action, whether that's writing an email, coming to a meeting, or tuning into a program like this.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. We want to talk today about continue the discussion that we had last week regarding the Injik land deal. And developer Wendell Wood is actually going to join us in just a few minutes. And I was mistaken. I told you he might be on the phone. I've confirmed. I'm looking at him right now. He's actually going to join us live in studio. And so we're looking forward to hearing from him, his first time in the studio here on this program. And we're honored to have him here. Brian, by way of introduction, I want to let folks know that you actually have some terrific information that was just posted recently on the Charlottesville Tomorrow website that really informs people sort of the A to Z of this important deal, and sort of lays all the information out there for people if you want to learn more about it. It's all right there, including a pretty cool video.
Well, thank you. We put a little put the map in motion, so to speak. One of the things when Wendell was on the program last week via the telephone, one of the questions I had for him was exactly which parcels are involved in this transaction, and I was able to get a letter from Albemarle County that showed me exactly which parcels are involved. We put them on a map to just, again, make it clear to people what we're talking about and where this land is that's proposed for the growth area. Again, this transaction has not occurred. It's just a resolution of intent from the Board of Supervisors to add some property, potentially to the growth area. These parcels or maybe some other parcels, but that's what we've been talking about. What I tried to do was, Coy, take advantage of the fact that you had a couple very informative radio programs on WINA last week, take some of those insights, also, you know, look back at the reporting that Jason Whitehead did with Seaville Weekly, and try to just make a list of all the links that people might want to go to, whether it's a Daily Progress article, a WINA podcast, or Jason Whitehead's work, and try to bring that all together and just say, here's where we are. And one of the things I try to do in those situations is do some follow-up interviews. So I called up David Slutsky, got his insights, and talked to a few other folks just to make sure I was hearing things right and that we had the right story.
And the end result is basically an essay going point by point, like, this is what happened, this is the timetable, this is... And it ends with, as you say, a whole bunch of links to all sorts of other newspaper articles and podcasts and other information that folks can get up to speed about what's going on here.
Yep. Well, you know, we need to give credit to the traditional news media that have been on this story in one way or another. But at the same time, I don't have to worry about, you know, an editor and column space and time. And so we can take the time to write a longer piece. And maybe that's not for everybody, but if this is a story you've been following, I would encourage you to read the, you know, 2 or 3 pages. And that's on SeavilleTomorrow.org. And if you click on the blog, you'll get over to the location where that story is.
Very cool. We're going to take a break here, and we will be back in just a few minutes with developer, business owner Wendell Wood from Albemarle County. This is Charlottesville Right Now. We are honored to welcome to the program developer Wendell Wood joins us in the studio. Do you like that title? I mean, should I pick something else? Is there a businessman, entrepreneur? What do you prefer?
Anything. I've been called everything. So whatever you want to call me is fine with me.
I have to ask you, because I have you here. When did you start this? Because you have had such a tremendous impact on this community. And I have said before, and this is a great opportunity to say it to your face, but I think some of your work is the very reason that this is one of the most popular places to live. Your work and other work by local developers. We are fortunate that the developers in our community are local guys, local people, local families. Not in many communities, the big developers are banks, big businesses from another city. And that has not been the history of Central Virginia. And so I just want to thank you and congratulate you for decades of a lot of hard work. It's made you very wealthy, but I'll guarantee you there's been a lot of late nights and quite a number of headaches over the decades.
Well, I can respond to that by saying I am the seventh generation in Albemarle County. I was born in Earlysville. My father died when I was 12 years old. And I immediately went to work. I was flipping hamburgers on 29 in 1952. I was pumping gas. So I was brought up on 29. I'm very familiar with it, and I love the area. I love the beauty of the area. The land has intrigued me, and I think the preservation and how we do it is very important to a community.
Tell me, was there a time in your career where you sort of were driving down 29 and you looked around and you said, this is it. This is where all the growth is going to be. And the smart guy is going to be the one who buys this land and develops it and makes it available for folks who want to build shopping centers or homes. Was there an aha moment in your life when you realized that's what I'm going to do?
Yes, there was. I was probably about 11. My father died when I said I was 12. And I don't know whether it was a premonition. He died of a heart attack. But we were riding on 29 at the Barracks Road intersection. And he owned a service station there called Meadow Creek. 29 at that time was just a little two-lane road. And he said, son, if anything ever happens to me, don't you sell that piece of property. He said, that piece of property one day is going to be worth $100,000. And I'm 11 years old, $100,000 sounded like $50 million. And, you know, I'm thinking, and at that time, he paid $250.
For
the property. So to shorten that story, because I'd like to get on to these others, but to shorten that story so that my father wouldn't be too upset with me, he said, don't ever sell it because it's going to be worth $100,000. I ended up and developed it and ended up sold it for over $3 million. So I don't think he would be too upset with me.
He'd be very proud, I guess.
But I did hold it for, you know, that was in 1952.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think I'm familiar with the area.
Brian Wheeler from Charlottesville Tomorrow and developer Wendell Wood in studio. And I want to give you an opportunity because you've heard the conversation that we've been having. You've read the articles in SEVA Weekly. Jason Whitehead's been writing about this for a while. I wanted to give you a full opportunity to come to the table and sort of share some of your concerns and your perspective on the conversation that's taking place.
Thank you very much, and I greatly appreciate that, because I'm a little concerned and confused, and I'll try to give you a little background first. I had worked with the NGIC for approximately, well, now for 15 years. I worked with them on the first facility. They were actually going to locate in a different area of the county. We got through that process, which is now the one that everybody's familiar with. And immediately upon that completion, the Army started talking about we're going to need more land. We would like to expand this facility. We worked on it for probably 2 years. We actually came to an agreement. The Army and myself came to an agreement on purchasing additional land. Then that had to go before Congress. It took about 2 years. We had an agreement. This is very important to remember this. There was an agreement reached on the price. 2 years passed by. Congress appropriated less than half of the amount of the money that was agreed upon for this property. They come to me, they being Army, come to me and say, well, we got a problem. This is all the money we have. This is it. We have no more money. But we still want to move forward. Obviously, you can imagine the shock to me. My immediate reaction was, I'll loan you the money. I literally offered to loan the money to continue to reach the purchase, which would do it. Well, it's illegal. They couldn't do that. So then I went to work. We got to find a solution for this. I just felt it was my civic duty to keep NGIC here, the jobs that were already in this community, and make sure it expanded. I started exploring possibilities. I'll shorten it again because I know we're going to run out of time, but that moved up to the point of, okay, they want to get more money later. We'll buy additional land sometime in the future. The government does not need zoning. This is a key issue for everyone to keep in mind. I am in the property is in the master plan, designated industrial. That's the piece of land they wanted. So that land has more value, as everybody seems to recognize. If it's in the plan, you have more value. They didn't need, that meant nothing to them. So I said, okay, I want to keep it here. We got to keep these jobs here, teachers, lawyers, business people, sales clerks, everybody. This is an important facility for this community. So that's when I then went to the county, and this is, please try to bear with me, went to the county and said, you know, I will take virtually the price that they offered me, which is like half of what they have agreed to pay me. But, county, I would like to be able to, in the future, take the chance that I can recoup that by shifting land that I can sell to anyone today at a higher price for the future possibilities of replacement. I mean, I don't think I should totally subsidize. I'm willing to subsidize it some, and I'm willing to take a gamble. I went to the supervisors. Now, of course, you have to, this process, you have to go to them. You can't talk to two of them at a time. Told them this. The NGIC people, the Army Corps of Engineers, and I think David Slutsky said that he called Senator Warren and found out, yes, this is reality. The BRAC was going on at the time. They were closing bases. Just like before I came in, you had the Fort Monroe talking about that. That base got closed. Many bases across the country. Jobs being lost all across the country. Well, here, this one is in for an expansion. So it was a very touchy time. And when it became down that if they couldn't expand, if they, being NGIC, could not expand this facility, the next round, it would probably get closed because it is a growing facility. It's in the line of where growth is going to happen. And if they can't grow in Alamore County, Senator Byrd in West Virginia was trying to get it. Kathleen Bailey Hutchison in Texas was trying to get it. Everybody else in the country wanted this facility. I'm saying we got to keep it here. So that's when I went to the Board of Supervisors, said, hey, look, this is a dilemma. We explained it to them. We explained it to every supervisor. All six supervisors heard the proposal that was presented by the Army to them. That came out of it. There was a process that has to happen, and we'll get to that in just a second, but there's a very distinct process that has to occur.
Let's pick up with that. We have to break here at the bottom of the hour for some local news and weather. We're talking with developer Wendell Wood and getting his story regarding the NGIC land deal and his perspective on the conversation that's taking place. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. Let's rejoin the conversation with developer Wendell Wood. He's live in studio, and my goal really while you're here is just to make sure that you have enough time. I don't want you leaving thinking, hey, I didn't get to say this. So I'm just go right back to you. The microphone is yours.
Thank you, and I will abbreviate some of my, I won't go into the detail that I would like to get gone into about how valuable I think the NGIC is to this community, all parcels of this community. I'll jump over that because that was my, I'm just I thought I had a civic duty to keep them here. If I had anything to do with it, I was going to keep them here. I was going to do anything I could to keep them here. So we'll pass all the how important they are, which I don't think is a light thing to do. But I went then. I had to find a way. I went to the Board of Supervisors, told them the dilemma. You know, they don't have the Congress hasn't appropriated the money. And you can verify these items. This was a very real deal. This company, this NGI, was potentially leaving this area, and for sure would probably been up for moving if they couldn't expand. If they could not expand in this location, next time BRAC comes around, they would have been out of here. That was the atmosphere coming from Senate, Congress. David Slusky checked that out and found that to be true. So that was when the process started. I went to the board and said, hey, you know, they've cut the land value, what they can pay for it, not because they don't want to. They've agreed to pay a high price. They don't have the funds. I came up with this land swap. I can go into as much detail as you want to, but in a nutshell, that was taking, I was selling land to them because of where they wanted to put the building that was zoned industrial, carries a higher value, if you will swap those acres to be in the rural areas that at a later date, hopefully, I will be able to sell to. I'll build something on it myself in that to offset the reduction in the price I'm getting.
So you'll sell to the federal government for below market value if the county gives you its word that it'll allow you to take some existing land that you have in the rural area and move it into the development area.
Yes. And in the course of that, the Army made a presentation, National Bureau of Intelligence, and it made a presentation to each supervisor. 11 people were in the room on each one of those presentations in one day. Keep in mind, this was a time-sensitive issue. If this wasn't done, there was a deadline of, like, right at that time, within a couple of weeks. If they couldn't go forward with this, they were out. Decisions had to be made. That's why I took the initiative to go to the board. The Army came to that meeting. I don't know that I should tell the people, but I've promised you, for example, if Sally Thomas doesn't tell you what she said at that meeting, I will tell you who was at that meeting so you can check it out with 11 people in that room. But all those super, two at a time during the course of that day, the same presentation was made to all six supervisors, two at a time.
And just to interrupt you real quick, you present this to the members of the Board of Supervisors two at a time, because if you had three or more in the room, it would have to be a public meeting.
Exactly. And at this point, I was trying a solution to see if this idea can go forward. And that's all we were talking about. Does this concept make sense to you, Board of Supervisors, and the other people in the room? Consensus out of that meeting was five of them saw the value of keeping the NGIC here. Sally Thomas saw no value in keeping them here and told them so. She didn't think they ought to be here. I can give you the exact quote, but I want to challenge her to tell the truth.
And I should be just a programming note. Sally Thomas will actually join us on this program on Thursday.
And you have promised me that you're going to ask her the question, what she said at that meeting in response to them coming here. And I have told you what she said, and if she denies it, I will prove she said it. She should tell the truth. I have no problems with her philosophically. She's against growth. I understand that. I'm for growth. I don't know if she understands it or not, but she has to, when she says something, she has to tell it the proper way. She told the NGIC she didn't want them here, that it was a negative for them being here. Jobs are negative to her. But the next day in the newspaper, she reported she was bullied into that decision by Wendell Wood. Well, don't say that. You know, that's wrong. That's not what happened. Tell the public why you don't want them here. But now I'm getting off on another issue. That's very important because she's hiding behind what she did. Tell the truth. It's all that everybody here wants to hear the truth. So that's what we're trying to. So the process went forward. Five members of the board said, okay, this is what we have to do. It was said at that meeting, after they decided this is what we're going to do, they made it important. I think Rooker was the one that made it, well, we can't do this right now, obviously, Wendell. This is a process. It's got to be vetted through the process. You've got to go through. I know that. I wasn't asking for a zoning issue at that time. And so, I said, I need to know if this is a possibility. Do y'all agree that it's important to keep here? Five of them agreed it's important to keep NGIC in the community. Fine. We leave. Then we get through the process. I know the process to get this done. And that's where I think the problem is. I'm not sure, maybe some of you do. You shouldn't. It's not your job. It's not for you know. And I will be glad to tell you the process. And that's where the problem lies. I think there's an interpretation here that the process has been circumvented. And this process has not been circumvented. This goes on all the time. The process is still in process. It has, we haven't had the first, the staff is still reviewing this. It has not been before the Planning Commission. It's not been, obviously, before the board. There are at least four public hearings that have to take place before this happens. This has been, what now, 9 months?
And when you say this, you mean before those 30 acres could be officially...
Put it moved into development area.
Right.
Out of rural into development.
But the deal with your private deal with the federal government, that's done, right?
That's done. I took the chance. I think it's important enough. I took a chance that I will have an opportunity in the future to recover the price that I was offered. In the future, there's no guarantees in this world. Maybe I can't. I don't know. For example, I know this. If NGIC left here, we're all in a major hurt. Sally wouldn't get, she doesn't know it, but she wouldn't get reelected if that happened, because that house values in this community would evaporate. Teacher salaries, everything would evaporate. If you pull the major employer out of this county, I don't think anyone wants, even the biggest anti in the world, can't want them to leave. And that's what the issue, I think, that the board realized. It wasn't a case of what's going to happen. If this NGIC and the national economy and the Congress was in an expansion mode, and if we're going to send a message to them, you can't expand in Elmore County, they wouldn't have closed up right then. But the next BRAC realignment, it was made clear, West Virginia is begging to get it, Texas is begging to get it, four other congressmen were begging to get this facility in their backyard.
Wendell, couldn't they have come back at some time? Let me finish. Couldn't they have come back
at some time? Finish. You promised me I could finish. I want to finish, and then I'll answer anything you want to ask me. So that process went forward with, okay, they obviously, it wasn't coming from me. They got this word direct from the people in part, from the Army. So nobody's lying about this. This came from this. This wasn't a makeup story to get zoning. This was a for real decision making based on the economy and health of this community.
Right.
They made that decision, move forward. That is the process. That process is in motion and has never been circumvented. Never was a deal said to me, relate this to Pan Tops, relate it to anything else. Didn't even know anything about it. As you'd see, it was my land. I'm talking about swapping my land.
You weren't involved at all in any decisions about Clarabelle Wheeler's land?
Not at all. Didn't know about it. Wasn't involved. So that process, we move on to, is this a good thing for Elmore County? Five supervisors thought it was. No promises were made. Let's move forward. And I think that's where we're at. I think that's what it comes back today. When they need to make this decision, I think the decision is going to be based on, is this a good thing for Albemarle County? And that's where I think this decision will eventually sift down and may, public will have its right. They will have their day on at least four public occasions to vent that. And hey, if the public doesn't want it, fine. I'm a big boy. Let's see how the public can stand their house values to evaporate. And plus, I don't believe it. I think the public wants NGIC. You can't ask for a better business. I mean, we're tired of flipping hamburgers with each other. We just can't keep going to salespeople at Walmart. We need jobs. We can't continue to rely on the University of Virginia. That's the greatest thing we've got here. But we need another base of employment. These are high-paying jobs. Sally was told at that meeting, $110,000 a year average salary, 850 people. Anybody else in the country views that as a positive good thing. Sally Thomas is the only person I know of who thinks that's bad. I think the public will respond to that. I think these five wise supervisors will respond to that. I don't think they want to see that happen. But, hey, they're going to have a chance before the public to express their opinion, and they control it.
Wendell Wood is live in studio, and it seems that we do not ever have enough time on the clock for the conversations that we really want to have, and that is just one of the downsides of radio, and we're certainly experiencing that here in this studio during the break. And I wish I could wave a magic wand and make it possible so that we could have another hour for you to share some.
It'll only take about 2 minutes.
Well, I would like, before we go any further, I've given you a lot of time to talk, and we want to take advantage of the fact that you're here to answer some questions, if we can. And you have said that you'd be happy to answer some questions.
And I will, but I also like to be quoted properly. And I have brought with me a tape of the record that y'all have lost. I have brought a recording of that expressly will convince you that you misquote. You took my statement out of context, and it's here in your own words.
I will be happy to listen to that. I can't listen to it right now because I've got 4 minutes left in the radio show, but I'll be happy to listen to that. And, Brian, you had a question that I know you had a couple of questions for Wendell, and I don't want you to think that I'm ignoring you, so just wanted to give you an opportunity.
I feel like I'm just along for the ride today, Coy, but I'm enjoying it. I'm learning things from Mr. Wood, and I appreciate
it's been incredibly informative. It really has. Well, and I appreciate you being here.
And you're right, and it could another half an hour would enlighten a lot more on this subject.
Mr. Wood, what I hear you saying is that the people involved were convinced there was an imminent threat that NGIC might relocate. And I guess what I would ask is, isn't it also possible that even if you had said no to the federal government, they could have come back at another time and negotiated another deal? I mean, that's also an option.
I don't believe that was an option. It was made clear there was not. It had taken them 2 years to get this appropriation to do it.